Father, we thank you, Lord, again, as we look at the Word of God this morning. We pray that the Holy Spirit, the ultimate teacher, will teach us, instruct us, Lord, what you have us know, and remind us even of things that you told us before. And let the entrance of your Word, we declare, let it bring light even today, and also give understanding into our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus. For so it is written, that the entrance of your word brings light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. And as many as you have ordained to be here, let them be here, and let the room function as intended without disruption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. Romans, we concluded the first 12 chapters of the book of Romans already. It's amazing. We're taking our time to go through it, you know. And as the Lord enables, we go through it here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And we just concluded Romans chapter 12. And all these lessons, thank God for the replay feature. They are available by replay to you on Clubhouse, on our Walking with God platform here on Clubhouse. Today I want to read through chapter 13. I'm just going to read the whole chapter. Then we'll go back to the top and talk through some of it. We'll see how much we can get through today. Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Then do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute, to whom tribute is due, custom, to whom custom, fear, to whom fear, honor, to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Or this, thou shalt not kill. Or this, thou shalt not steal. Or this, thou shalt not bear false witness. Or this, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The reading of God's word out of Romans chapter 13, and we're calling this lesson More Exhortations for Christian Living. A lot of it from chapter 12, and more even in this chapter. So let's get to it. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Well, there's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And so on and so forth. Talking about, you know, our civic, social duties and how we function in society under, government that's in place. Well, we want to bring a viewpoint here because you got to take this one with wisdom. Does it mean then what he's saying here? We are saying we should be subject to the higher powers. Does it mean that you must obey everything they say? Well, it does mean that you must obey the law. If you don't obey the law of the land, I mean, certain laws, like civic laws, like, you know, don't do this. I mean, don't speed in a neighborhood that may have children, residential neighborhood here in the United States. They have posted those signs. And if it says speed limit is 25 or in a school zone, it's even like 15. If you go speeding through there, you're going to get into trouble with the law. I mean, those kinds of laws we must obey. It's for the good of everybody, you know. And then there's also, you know, laws in the society, you know, to keep, you know, everything functioning well. It's public places and different things like that. And if they say no littering or no this or that, if you don't follow those things, you're going to get into trouble, you know. And then you find yourself to blame. There may be places where there is no law and order, just anarchy. But in other places, you know, thankfully there may, you know, still be law and order. And you got to follow these things. Traffic laws also, you know, not just speeding through residential neighborhoods. Posted traffic signs, speed limits, you know, and et cetera. Don't do this. Don't cross here. No crossing or this and that. Here in the United States, a lot of those things are enforced, strictly enforced. They even have cameras, that may, you know, be used to enforce those laws. And they post the cameras in different places. They even post warnings, you know, camera in use. So you have yourself to blame if you. And those cameras are programmed to capture certain things. And so if you don't keep, you know, within the rules or the law, you might get into trouble. And sometimes the traffic or highway patrol or some rangers or whatever, they may be there hiding and disguising themselves sometimes. Sometimes they even disguise their vehicles. And they're looking for the law breakers. And then the next thing you know, you got these sirens behind your back and pull you over. You're doing the wrong thing. There's places in the United States where it is illegal to even speak on the phone while you're driving unless you have hands free. You know, sometimes, you know, they enforce that. You know, in the United States, every state here now has the, you know, seatbelt driving rule or law. If you are, you know, and all the vehicles have been commanded now for decades to install seatbelts. If you are driving, especially in the front, two front seats, they enforce that. In some states, they may not pull you over, you know, just for that. But if you get pulled over for something else and they see you're not wearing your seatbelt, then they slap you with even more, you know, offenses, you know, and so you have to deal with that. They have various safety rules, you know. You cannot and supposed to not drive with a broken tail light because the tail lights, you know, are what can give the car behind you the warning that you're stopping or you're turning or something. If those lights are broken, they pull you over. you know, and if they pull you over, then they begin to ask for all kinds of things. Once you get pulled over, they can ask for your license. They're necessarily not going to pull you over, at least here in the United States, not in some other places. They're not going to pull you over just to ask for your license or your documentation on the car. But if they pull you over for something else, then they ask for all those things. And if you don't have those things in order, that means you're not keeping the law, you know, then you can get into, you know, some serious trouble. Certain states, most states require that you carry some level of auto insurance. You know, whether it's a liability only, some places call them third party. And nobody necessarily is going to stop you just to ask for your insurance. But if they stop you for something else, then they could ask for all those things. You know, and it depends on who stops you. And if they, you know, if you don't follow the law, you're breaking any of those laws and they stop you, you can get a ticket. In some cases, you can get serious fines, and so on and so forth. They have laws that say, you know, you don't drive on this lane unless you have, you know, they call them high occupancy vehicle, HOV lane. In other words, two or more persons in the car. If you're a single person in the car, you drive in that lane during those times, as I said, if you don't drive there, they can pull you over. You can get pulled over. You can get a ticket. I mean, so we can go on and on and on and on. You know, even in societies, we have other laws too. If you're in school, on the campus, or wherever, there are laws for students. If you break those laws, you get into trouble. You may get suspended or this and that. On the job, they also have laws and so on, you know. They have certain laws. They want you to do things certain ways because that's how they're paying you to do those things. And if you're not following those, you know, principles or rules that they have in place, you may get fired, you know, and so on. Now, so those are, you know, our civic duties, duties that we have, in, you know, that we, and there are laws that we must obey. But there are certain laws that we may not obey. And there are examples in the Bible. The ones that come to mind readily in Daniel chapters 3 and 6. The stories of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the story of Daniel. You know, those stories, you know, come to mind readily about certain laws that we should not obey. But before I read that those or speak about those stories, let me read something out of 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 4, I read from verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. So, right here, we're saying that we may have to go through some serious trials. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may also be glad with exceeding joy. Now, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part, his evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified. But, this is where I'm going. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, then what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, well, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their soul to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. You know, so there are some sufferings, you know, that are because of your faith in Christ. The scripture says, well, if you experience those, don't be ashamed and just rejoice that you are counted worthy to do that. But don't suffer because you disobeyed the law of the land as an evil doer. An evil doer in disobeying the law of the land will suffer, and they have themselves to blame for it. We've given some random examples. There may be other law of the land which, if you disobey, you may suffer, but not because you are an evil doer, but because those laws contradict the law of your God. And so you have to decide, which one are you going to choose? You know, so we'll talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We'll talk about the early church, some of the disciples, some things that they could not obey. You know, even though there were authorities in the land that were telling them to do things a certain way, they couldn't do it and would not do it. And so we've got to consider this and use wisdom in considering it as well. Now, in the book of Daniel, chapter 3, just about everybody knows that story, and chapter 6 as well. Chapter 3 is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with the, you know, burning fiery furnace. Chapter 6 is Daniel and the lion's den. In these cases, you know, there was law of the land that was out there, and these young men chose to not obey those laws because they were contrary to the law of their God. And so we cannot just blindly say, okay, obey every law. No. In the story of Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar had made, you know, an image and different things, and he had put some music out and some law that any time that you hear this music playing, wherever you are, no matter what you are doing, stop, bow down, and worship my golden image, you know, that he has set up, you know. And, well, that sounds like the law of the land. And, you know, should we obey those kind of laws? You know, just because we must obey the higher powers? Well, let's find out what those people did. The law was sure and the penalty of disobedience was certain. You know, and then he said, look, at any time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, languages must fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. That was the law. And people were actually doing it. Well, not everybody. You know, I know Daniel wasn't doing it either, but this story, you know, they only focused on these three men in this particular case. So some of the Chaldeans came near and accused, you know, the Jews. They said, you know, did you not make such a decree that such and such, and everybody should do this? And whosoever falleth not, you will cast in the midst of a burning furnace for us. That was the decree. You know, and they say, yeah. They say, well, there are certain Jews whom you have favored and set them over the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't keep your laws. You know, they were actually, you know, grieved in their hearts because, you know, Nebuchadnezzar had promoted these people at the request of Daniel. You know, there were some things in the past that happened when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and nobody could tell him the dream or interpret it. And he asked all the magicians, the Chaldeans, soothsayers, you know, astrologers, everybody come together and tell him the dream and then give him interpretation. And if they didn't tell him, he said, he's going to kill everybody. And they said, oh, king, well, you know, there's no king anywhere that asks people to do this thing that you're asking. Tell us the dream, and then we will tell you the interpretation. How in the world are we going to tell you your own dream? You know, tell us the dream. And he said, you guys are buying time. You know, the thing is done for me, and you have, you know, mess around until, you know, I forget even more. Well, if you don't do it, I'm going to give you X number of hours or days. If you don't come up with it, everybody that's in the wise society, all of you will be killed. Daniel and his friends were part of those people. You know, they were children in whom there was no blemish. They were sons of the, you know, they were princes in their own rights. They had knowledge of sciences and different things, you know. They had been auditioned and they, you know, had been promoted. And so, and Daniel had good favor before the head of the eunuchs and so on. So anyway, you know the story. They prayed. God showed Daniel the dream and he was able to give the interpretation. And so the king promoted Daniel, and Daniel remembered his friends who prayed with him. Powerful story. You know, someday we'll go more into that. But today suffice to say that when Daniel was promoted for being the only one that could not only interpret the dream, but even tell the dream. So nobody knew the dream. How can you interpret it when you don't tell us, they said. But Daniel dreamed the dream over again. God gave Daniel this dream. That's an amazing story that Nebuchadnezzar had. He dreamt the dream over. God said, that's the dream of, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, so that you don't perish. They prayed about it. He got his friends together and they prayed. And then he went into the king and said, oh, king, you know, whatever, you know, live forever. I mean, they respected the king. You know, they honored him, his position. Oh, king, live forever, they would say, and so on. But as long as it's not telling them to do something contrary to the law of their God. And he told the king the dream, gave the interpretation and so forth. Powerful, powerful interpretation that he gave of all the kingdoms of the world that were coming. Nebuchadnezzar was so amazed because as Daniel was telling the dream, he remembered, yeah, that is the dream. And then he was confident that if this man could tell him the dream, then whatever he told him the interpretation was correct. He said, you know, if you're able to tell me the dream, then I know that your interpretation will be correct. But if I tell you the dream, you can cook up anything for me. So anyway, you know the story. Daniel was promoted with all kinds of goods and raised up to be chief among all the wise people and, you know, in the provinces and so forth. They set him above because nobody else had that kind of wisdom. But Daniel carried his friends along. You know, he didn't forget the people that helped him. See, this is his thing. A lot of people forget, you know, people that help them. When they get to the top, they won't even remember, you know, they won't remember somebody that did them any good, you know, and so forth. The butler, in the case of Joseph, did not remember this Joseph who used to comfort him in the prison and who even gave him a word of a prophetic word that said, you know, have hope, you know, that, you know, the king will restore you and so on. And when you get there, please remember me, and you know, and so forth. Just give a good word for me, you know, because I'm here suffering for something I never even knew anything about. I didn't do. But he forgot him for 2 years. And so, but Daniel was not such a person. He was a man of integrity. He remembered his friends. may God give you friends like that, you know, that will remember you. You know, that's a true friend, you know. Some people, you help them and they get up there, they forget you. Even sometimes turn around, stab you in the back. You know, so, but not Daniel. Remember his friends. So because they were all promoted, Daniel caused his friends also to be promoted, set them, you know, above everybody else in their own provinces. People hated them because of that. And they were looking for how they could bring them down, you know. And so, you know, they had a good opportunity when the king made this decree and said, ah, okay, they were spying these people out. They already knew these people wouldn't do it because they knew their stand. So they came and accused them to the king and said, well, you know, the decree that you set up that people should, you know, bend the knee to your image whenever they hear this music, well, there are certain of the Jews, they don't do it. And they said, really? They said, who? And they brought him and set him before Nebuchadnezzar. Say, well, and he recognized them. He knew them, you know, and said, well, you know, okay, you've been accused of this thing, but you have a chance to defend yourself. Is it true what they say about you that you do not, you know, submit to my law? See, that was the law of the land at that time. When you hear this music, worship the image. No matter what you're doing, stop, and so on. They say, yeah, king, it is true. You know, I said, well, okay, I'm going to give you one last chance. You know, if you do worship, we're going to play the music now, when you hear it, you bow down, worship, and so forth, then all is good. You know, but if you don't, and he gave them the penalty of death. at the hands of the fiery furnace. And they said to the king, "Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, this is not a matter that we have to go and think about." That's what they said. "We're not careful to answer you in this matter. It's a done deal in our heart. We will not see the Jews. They won't do that. They serve only one God, and his name is Yahweh." He said, "Hear, O Israel," Deuteronomy, they were told at the beginning, the law of Moses, and they knew it, and they're not going to bow the knee to anybody else. Same thing, Mordecai, wasn't going to bow the knee to Haman, and that's why Haman hated him. All those stories. They're not going to do it. And, "Hear, O Israel," they were told, Deuteronomy 6:4, "The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God," and so forth. "And thou would not bow to any other thing." So they knew it, and they wouldn't do it. So they told him, "Well, if that be the case, if you threaten to throw us into the fire, well, be it so, but we are not going to bow. Our God whom we serve," glory to God, I love that testimony, "our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us." Not only is he able, but also he will deliver us. Ladies and gentlemen, let's consider that. It's a powerful, powerful story. And every time I read it or speak on this subject, I like to highlight these things that they said, to Nebuchadnezzar. Let's read Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so," if you threaten us with it and that's the case, fine. "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." See, and I often said to people, I said, "Look, that is non-negotiable. You must believe that God is able to do the thing, but not only that, that he's actually going to do it." See, and that's the difference between being persuaded. You heard our, now famous faith specs. You must be persuaded that God is able to do the thing. And then you must embrace it that he will actually do it. And many people believe that God is able to do anything. But when it comes down to it, they don't actually embrace it. They don't believe that God is actually going to do it. They know he's able to do it. But, I don't know. Maybe it's not God's will. and then they, find an excuse to not embrace it for the need at hand, for that moment. But these kids, this young man, they said, "No, our God is able to, and he will do it." However, they were sold out, sold out, loyalty to God. And they would not obey any law just because the king's law. So, but even if God does not deliver us, we know he can, and we know he will deliver us out of your hand and out of this burning fiery furnace. But even if he does not do it, we still will not bow. Upon which the man was furious. The king was furious. What audacity, that you have. Instead of trembling and begging for forgiveness, they stood and said, "No, we're not going to do it." Now, these were kids, young men that would not obey the law of the land. In this particular case, because that law of the land was contrary to the law of their God. And whose law will you obey? And the man said, hit it up 7 times. He was furious. He wasn't just going to throw them into the fire, but because they, dared, to say that to his face. What manner of, I mean, he just could not imagine it, the audacity that these people had to tell him that. Cranked up the fire 7 times more, ordered that they be bound hand and foot and cast into the thing. Well, because of the urgency, you know, of the commandment, the people that were binding them did not even have time to protect themselves. When they got near to throw them in there, because Nebuchadnezzar was standing far away, you know, the flame consumed even the people that were throwing them in. I mean, how far can you throw somebody that is bound hand and foot? You have to carry them close enough to the fire. So they carried them close enough to the fire, but before they could cast them in, the fire consumed the people that, you know, were trying to throw them in. And Nebuchadnezzar saw it, but he didn't care. You know, as long as these young men that defied him were going to be killed, didn't care who else died alongside. But to his utter chagrin and surprise, he saw these young men walking loose. They were bound hand and foot. As soon as they landed in the fire, they stood upright. The bonds were broken. They were walking. I guarantee you, they probably were walking and praising God. You know, and there was a fourth figure in there with them. Glory to God. When you pass through the fire, I will be there with you. Isaiah 43:2. The angel of the Lord was right there with them. And Nebuchadnezzar said, well, did we not cast 3 men bound hand and foot to the fire? How come we now see 3 men loose and even a fourth one with them? And this one looks like an angel of the Lord. He called it a son of God. He said, wow. And he brought them forth. And they told him, yeah. You know, and said, wow. And so that was the story. So you know that story. But the point that we wanted to bring out was, you know, that out of that, because these people dared to believe, their lives were sold out. They did not love their lives even unto death. You know, the Bible said in Revelation 12:11, they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony. They say, our God is going to deliver us and so forth, you know, and he will. But, you know, they said also, you know, even if he didn't, we don't care. You know, they did not, they were not holding back. Jesus said, if any man who hold back his life doesn't want to lose it on the penalty of death, you know, you are faced with denying your faith or die. If you would lose that life for me, you will get it. But if you try to save that life, you will lose it, Jesus said. And so these people came out of there with a powerful testimony, and we're speaking of it to this day. Whereupon the king also said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Now changed the king's word. These people, they changed the king's word. You know, they subdued kingdoms. You know, escaped the edge of the sword. You know, quenched the violence of fire and all these things. In Hebrews 11, they talk about them. And they came out of there. They yielded their bodies. That's right. You know, they were sold out. They might not serve or worship any god except their own god. And Nebuchadnezzar, he bowed down before these people. He said, therefore, I make a decree that every person, nation, language, and, you know, anywhere that they are, he was king of the world at the time, you know, had conquered all the other kingdoms. Anybody, therefore, whosoever will speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so cut in pieces. Your house will be made a dunghill. Because there is no God that can deliver after this sort. God glorified himself in these 3 young men. But that was because they did not obey the king. So when we're talking about obeying the king furthermore even promoted them, even beyond their previous positions. Promoted them again, you know, in the province of Babylon. But they did not obey the law of the land. So when the Romans is telling us, you know, be subject to the higher powers. Yeah, that's true. But only in those civic and laws and different things that we spoke about. Not in the things concerning God. You know, same story, similar story for Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6. You know the story. You know, people were envying him. Because he was always getting promoted and so forth above the rest of them. And Daniel wasn't lobbying for anything. favor was just pursuing him. Everywhere he went, he had favor. You know, even though he was a slave to start with, he had favor and so on. So they said, look, this man is, there is no way that we're going to get him to do anything wrong, because the man had integrity. He kept the law. He did everything right. He said, the only way we're going to get him is let's find something about the law of his God. We know he won't bend one way or another concerning that. But if we can somehow get the king to make a decree that is contrary to the law of his God, of Daniel's God, we know Daniel is not going to obey. And then we're going to get him into trouble. So they persuaded the king, oh, king, live forever, and so on and so forth. You are the head. I mean, you know how the law of the Medians and Persians are. You know, king say anything, nobody can go against it. Why don't you exercise that law for the next 30 days? Make a decree. So they, you know, they spoke to the ego of the king. And he liked it, you know. Yeah, make a decree that nobody, anyone should make any petition to anybody, any god, anywhere, except to the king. The king said, yeah, that sounds good. So he did it. He sealed it with the signet of the king. And they published the thing everywhere. Meanwhile, these people are spying on Daniel because they've set a trap. It's called, you know, entrapment. You know, so they set entrapment for him. You know, and so when Daniel knew that the decree was made, well, he did not obey the decree. And, you know, as his manner was, it wasn't because the decree was made that he started to pray. You know, well, he was already doing that, because the Bible said, as his manner was, he continued with his business of prayer. The various times of day that he had set aside for prayer, the things that he used to do, how he used to open his windows and pray and so forth. You know, he would pray towards Jerusalem that God would deliver them from out of this place and so on. And he continued in the same way, even though this decree was made. And you know the rest of the story. Of course, they, you know, they found him. Say, aha! You know, so they found him, brought him before the king and said, king, did you not make a decree that nobody anywhere in all places of dominion should make any petition to any god other than you? For the, within 30 days, king said, of course I did. He said, well, do you know what happens when a king's word is made that cannot be changed? He said, of course we know. He said, well, I'll tell you what. They said, we found a man, you know, this Daniel, you know, whom thou promoted. They were envious of him. He would disobey your law. And he did this and did that and did that. The king asked Daniel, is it true? And I said, well, you know, I got to obey my God. You know, I got to pray to my God. I can't separate that from my day-to-day life. And the king was very sorrowful because he loved Daniel. Daniel was a faithful man in everything, righteous, upright, in everything. You know, and was even advising the king on so many things before. You know, advised his father, advised the rest of them and so on. So, you know, he was sorry, but because of the law of the Medes and Persians, that one sign like that cannot be changed, he couldn't go back on his word. He said, well, I'm sorry, but this is it. But I know that your God whom you serve, he will deliver you. And sorrowfully, he asked the people to cast him into a lion of dens, which had been prepared. And so they cast him in there. But the king could not sleep all night long. Because he loved Daniel and he couldn't sleep. He was, you know, pacing his room all night long. He couldn't sleep. Early in the morning, he would go around to the cave of the Daniel and scream, Daniel, O servant of the living God, is that God whom you serve continually, has he been able to deliver you from the power of the lions? I know he will. Daniel answered from beneath, O king, live forever. I'm right here. You know, my God, whom I serve, hidden, in as much as he knew there was no evil in me, he has shut the mouth of the lions, and he had no power over me. Daniel actually had a good night's sleep. And some of those lions, they have these big, heavy manes, those, you know, giant males, slept soundly on one of them. And they just, you know, they were just there, you know, Nothing happened to him. He just enjoyed his night's sleep. Meanwhile, the other guy couldn't sleep. His sleep brought him out, say, I knew it. Your God will save you. And then rounded up all those people that hated Daniel. He said, let all these people be thrown right in there. Because, you know, he knew that they had conspired against him just to bring an evil report to get him killed. And the lions made mastery of those people even before they reached the bottom. The lions jumped up and they were being thrown down, tore them to pieces. But Daniel, he came out of that place unharmed, you know. And Hebrews 11 talks about all these, you know, the heroic acts of this young man. Acts of faith, you know, fiery furnace faith, you might call it. You know, lion's den faith, you might call it. And this man was promoted even more, prospered and so forth in the land. But, you know, they did it at the penalty of death. They did not obey the law of the land in this case. So, we're talking about obeying the law of the land. Fast forward to the book of Acts. I mean, there were, you know, people that hated this way. And they did not want, I mean, chief priests and so on and so forth. They never wanted, you know, the early disciples of Christ to preach anything, you know. So in Acts chapter 4, after Peter and John had healed the man at the temple, the man that was lame, these people were grieved that they were speaking, Peter and John were speaking to people in the name of Jesus. They were grieved. They didn't want anything like that. So this doctrine is going to spread. You know, they know that a noted miracle has been done. We couldn't deny it, but they were grieved that they were preaching in the name of Jesus. So the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them being grieved that they taught the people and priests through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them, put them in hold and so forth the next day. And, many people believed, others and so forth. So here's Peter's response. Acts chapter 4, you know, and in verse 8. He said, they brought him in the midst and said, by what power and by what this have you done this? And so forth. Well, he told them. And he gave a powerful, powerful testimony. You know, so then they told them, they called them after that. They said, well, we don't want this thing to spread further. So let's strengthen them. Let's do this. We know that they have done a miracle and we cannot deny it. See, miracles cannot be denied. This is how you give powerful testimony. People may argue theology and so forth, but when a notable miracle is done, they said it with their own mouth. They said in verse 16, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Can't deny it. Praise God. So any gospel that is void of miracles of power, you know, and healing and deliverance, you know, it's a weak gospel at best. But when you back it up with those miracles and things like that, the people cannot deny it. They may argue, but they can't deny the miracles. They said it with their own mouth. They said, but what are we going to do? We don't want this thing to spread. You know, we can't deny their miracles, but we don't want them to spread. So let's threaten them that they speak henceforth no more in this man's name. They were the authorities of the land then. They had the backing of the state and so on. And then they said, called them, commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. I mean, they were even rulers of the church. I mean, of their religious systems at the time. They were chief priests and all these people. You know, and, they had the backing of the Romans at the time. Romans didn't care for, you know, Christians or anything. So if their rulers said, you know, well, we want to shut them on self, go ahead. No, they didn't care anyway. So they commanded them not to speak. And then Peter said, and John, whether it be right in the sight of God, this is what I want to bring out, to hearken unto you more than God, then you judge. So that's it, folks. Any laws that, you know, violate the law of God, even though you know, this verse that we're reading is telling us to obey the higher powers. Well, we cannot obey that. And neither the disciples. We can't obey that. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So whether you threaten us or not, and they further threatened them and they couldn't do anything. They let them go. You know, but they beat them up. They did all kinds of things to them, but they would not deny. And they said, well, you know, choose you. I mean, determine among yourself which one we should obey, either God or you. You know, and so they chose to obey God because the laws that came up against them were contrary to the laws of God, and they wouldn't do it. Jesus had told them, go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. They said, no, don't do it. And he said, well, we got to obey the Lord. So you got to take this thing with a grain of salt, like they say. You can't just say, well, I'm going to obey every statute that is in the land just because, you know, of this and that. And there are consequences of not obeying. And you may have to face those consequences. Well, you know, if any man will follow me, except he is willing to deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, he cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. On your job, there may be certain things that you may have to, you know, face. I mean, teachers in school districts, I told you cannot speak in the name of Christ, but you must teach these people about Halloween and witchcraft and so on. The teacher may choose, well, I'm not going to do it. Instead, I'm going to speak the name of the Lord. Well, you get fired, and you will get fired. And so what? You know, you have to choose which one is going to be. And, you know, you rejoice being, you know, at being persecuted for Christ's sake. On your job, you know, they may have all these laws and so forth. And all the laws they have in the land today favor the kingdom of darkness, mostly. I mean, when they say you can't talk about these things, well, when you talk about all the things of the devil and the world and the kingdom of darkness, everybody's happy. But then you can't talk about this thing. Well, thankfully in the United States, you are protected by freedom of speech. Actually, if they fired you for that, you there are organizations that will back you up and can take up a lawsuit and you will win because there is freedom of speech. People don't do it. You know, sometimes Christians, they're not militant enough. They just lay down for everything. That's not certain things you lay down for, but not everything. You have your rights. You're protected under certain things. It's like parents. You know, I tell parents of young children, you know, your children don't have to listen to all that filth in those school systems, trying to make boys, girls, girls, boys, and teach them, you know, this and so forth and make them promiscuous and everything, you know, and it's okay for them to go out and commit fornication as long as they don't get pregnant and all these things they teach them. In schools, they even give them pills and so forth. And all this, you don't have to put up with that. You're a taxpayer. And if the government, you know, school especially, they're using your taxes to run that thing, you can protest. We don't need to just be docile and say nothing all the time about everything. Just let them ride all over you. Using your money, you're a taxpayer. See anything that, well, in the United States, I'm talking about. Yeah, if you see anything that, you know, as a taxpayer, you know, it's not right, you can protest because it's your money. And if enough people protest, they will overturn that thing. But, you know, most of the time people don't do anything. Just go along with it. You know, so what am I saying? Should we obey every law of the land just because this verse says we should obey? No. You have to choose, you know, to obey the ones that are civic laws and good to do. But if it is contrary to the word of the Lord, then don't do it. You know, and if you have to suffer for it, so be it. You may lose your job for it. So what? God will give you another job. And even if he doesn't, great will be your reward in heaven. Sometimes God does not deliver us from persecution, but he gives us a great crown in heaven. Jesus did not deliver Stephen from being stoned to death, but stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And Stephen saw it. Jesus did not deliver John the Baptist, who was even his cousin. You know, because he preached against what Herod was doing and so forth. Say, well, you can't have your brother's wife. Can't do that. You know, generation of vipers and snakes and so forth. Call them out. This man didn't like it. Put him in prison and will eventually behead him. But when he was in prison, did Jesus go there and bust him out of prison? He didn't. You know, so he lost his life for it. But Jesus gave him a glowing ovation, said, no one like him, born of women, no prophet like him, you know. And so John got a great reward, except for the people who come in the kingdom of God after Christ's resurrection. Nobody else greater than him, Jesus said. You know, so God may not, just because you stand up for Christ's name, he may or may not deliver you from the thing. You have to make your mind up. We have people that have given their lives for Christ. You know, there's some people, you know, we hear of it once in a blue moon here in the United States, but it happens all the time in a place such as Nigeria. You know, and come in there and say, you know, unless you deny Christ, we're going to kill you, and then kill everybody. But if they are not being saved, we're praying that God will change that situation. But if they don't get saved from it, should they deny their faith? Those are not even government. Those are just terrorists. But the point still remains, we got to be sold out. You know, you got to make up your mind that you're not going to deny him or do anything contrary. And laws will come later on. You know, we have freedom of speech now. That will be taken away. It's almost being taken away already. You know, you're good now as long as you say good things, you know, to the president of the United States. You come against him, well, you're going to be in trouble. So there will be laws of the land that's made. And must you obey every law eventually? Sometime in the future, they may even take away your Bible. Already there's a scheme the devil is planning to water down that Bible so badly. You know, even before they take it away, they polluted it. They have hundreds of versions now that don't even come close to the original translation. They water down many key concepts in the Bible. Well, eventually they will even take that Bible away. Eventually prayer will be forbidden. Right now, you know, prayer is forbidden in public places. Well, in the future, prayer will be forbidden in your homes. You know, and Big Brother is watching, and they have, you know, all the ways that they can see it too. And what are you going to do? You know, right now we thank God for the United States. You know, religion still has, I mean, there's still freedom of religion, which also means, you know, even if the people who are satanists, they have freedom of religion. Unfortunately, it's a double-edged sword, but we still have freedom of religion too. And, you know, right now, thank God they're not closing down the churches, but they can, and they can make a law and say nobody gather together, nobody will pray, nobody will do anything, and if you do, penalty of death. You know, you could be suspended from something, you could be killed, you know, your rights could be taken away. I remember when I was in high school and revival broke forth, we were in this thing called Scripture Union. Revival broke forth, people started, you know, all kinds of things. And they came down, the principal and everybody came down with a law that, you know, that it was that one year. And at that time, by the grace of God, I was president of the Scripture Union in my school. And in that one year, a lot of things were happening. They gave a decree to shut down. The Scripture Union had been in that school for years. They shut it down that one year. So the things God was doing, you know, and they said, anybody, you know, dude, you could be suspended, kicked out of school and so forth. Well, that they actually didn't stop us. We were still doing it. They shut us down. We wake up at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night, you know, and then go to some abandoned building in the campus. Campus was very large, and have fellowship there because they shut down all the places where we'd have fellowship. One day, the principal, he knew I was a gang leader, so they called it. called me into his office. Not only was I had many high positions, head of house, captain of this, captain of that, best student in this and that and so forth. And many of the people that were with us were like that. And it was kind of like Daniel. I couldn't find anything. All the best students in school were with us. The students that were neat and, you know, all of that. And they were law abiding, except in this area. They were all with us. So one day, principal called me into his office and said, well, I don't know what you're going to do. You know, I was a very senior prefect in the school and I was this and that, so on and so forth. And he looked me in the eye and said, well, I mean, what can I do with you? I can't suspend you because, you know, you're one of our key people, you know, but this thing that you're doing, you know, and so forth. He told me all kinds of things. And I just remember the story of Daniel. And I said, well, you know, it is what it is. You know, stood right there in front of the principal's office. And, you know, he gave me some punishments. He gave me some things and so forth. But, you know, I said, well, thank God that we can suffer for the name of the Lord. And I could have lost certain rights, but he chose not to do it. Because he thought it would bring disgrace to the office that I held, or some of the offices I held. But what could he do? I was ready to do it, you know, but I wasn't going to quit. You know, he said, hey, look, hand down whatever punishment you want to hand down. I'm not quitting. This is what I've chosen to believe, you know. And he was furious. And many of them were, you know, some of the authorities in the school, they were like that. They were like, what are we going to do with these students? They're the best students in the school. You know, you talk about prize giving day, they're the ones that get all the prizes. They're the ones that are most studious in everything. They're the ones that are, you know, obedient in everything. Except this one area, they wouldn't obey. And then so they said, well, the only thing we do is banish this thing. And so they banished the thing. They could never do it. Well, cut a long story short, it brought even greater revival. Persecution sometimes, you know, inspires even greater revival. So, because we had to get up early, you know, go hide in bushes to do this thing. Yeah. The story of the catacombs and so forth, and people running all over the place in the early church, they were killing them. Got scattered from Jerusalem everywhere, and they carried the gospel with them. But they did not obey every law of the land just because it was the law of the land.
So, you know, I see that I've spent quite a bit of time discussing that topic, but it is important because I don't want people to just go away from this one and say, well, the Bible says you obey everything. Maybe so, but no. Same Bible say, you know, we must only serve the Lord our God. So if they bring laws that are contrary, then, you know, we must not do that. And the same thing is true. Even in the home setting, you know, husbands, love your wives. Wives, you know, submit to your own husband in everything. Well, really? What if they ask you to do something that is contrary? Or if they ask you to deny your faith? You're going to submit to them just because the Bible says submit if they ask you to deny your faith? Well, so you have to, you know, check these things out. Children, obey your parents in everything. No, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You know, if they tell you to go and do something crazy that's contrary to the law of the Lord, don't do it. But you must be ready to do the consequence. You know, now, somebody is going to leave this room today and say, well, you know, Pastor Yada said I don't have to obey my husband. I never said that. That's what you want to hear. I never said that. You know, so what I said was, you know, God must be number one in our lives. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, you cannot take somebody else's commandment, you know, if it's contrary to God's commandment, above God's commandment. In the state of Arizona, here in the United States, and some other states, they have certain things, you know, that they have some precepts and they have some laws. Even if you sign a contract which is binding, a contract that a wife signs with the husband is binding, even by the scriptures. Husband, you must love your wife, that's binding. Wife, you must obey your husband, that's binding. But void where prohibited by law. They have that underlying statement here in this state. You can sign any contract, common agreement with anything which is binding in this court of law. Contracts are binding. Even if it's a handshaking contract, it's binding here. Written is binding. Verbal is binding. You can prove it. But it is void if it is prohibited by the law. You know. So there is a higher law. That's right. And remember, it's a subject to the higher powers. Well, there is a higher power that is higher than those higher powers. And so we got to first be subject to him who is the highest of all higher powers. Praise the Lord. You know, so if any of the lower higher powers would tell us to do something contrary to the highest of the higher powers, which is God, then we can't do it. You know, because we must be subject to all higher powers. And God himself is the highest. So if God says one thing, some other higher power says another thing, then which one will you follow? So that's today's lesson. Are you sold out? Are we sold out? Are you all in? You know, regardless of what the law of the land may be. Now, you know, things may be easy because of, you know, freedom of speech and so forth in the United States. But when that freedom goes away, and many things go away, and many laws, you know, this is how people are going to take the mark of the beast eventually. You know, but when many laws are made and life becomes very difficult, people have to make a choice. Do you follow the word of God or do you obey, you know, this thing? Which they put out a law, which may be contrary. Maybe the Lord said, don't do it. And they said, well, if you don't do it, you can't buy or sell. You can't eat even. And the Lord said, if you take that mark, it's over. And they said, well, if you don't take the mark, well, we got to put all the knowledge thing in your head. You know, they got a little chip now that can contain all the information in the world about you. Put that in your forehead or put it in your hand. And then, you know, it's right there. It's a form of identification and so on. I say, well, you know, if you don't do it, you'll be cut off from all commerce and all trade and so forth. You won't be able to buy, you won't be able to sell, you won't be able to do this. You can't even do banking. You lose your money that's in the bank. And there's coming a time that people will lose a lot of money that they have in the bank. You know, you have to seek God to give you wisdom on how to put your money. It's good to put money in the bank, but, you know, currency is not the, it's not the safest place, you know, so that, you know, laws are coming that will make people lose all of that. And if you don't do certain things that may be even contrary to the word of God, you may lose everything. But what are you going to do then? You know, people will do anything to make sure they don't lose their life savings. They will do anything to make sure that they can continue to eat, protect their children, you know, and so forth, put food on the table. All that. Well, do anything. They'll take the mark. One day we'll go deeper into the mark of the beast and the system, what it all means. But suffice to say today that you need to settle it in your heart. You know, Jesus said, well, settle it in your heart. Even before they bring you before those judges and magistrates. You got to settle it in your heart. What you going to do? You know, that's the thing. What you going to do? What's going to be your response? Are you going to cave in to the law of the land just because it is the law of the land? But what if that law of the land violates the law of God? Which one will you follow? Yeah. That's right. Whom shall we obey? You know, the disciples said, should we obey God or you guys? You choose. I said, well, we will obey God. You can do anything you want to us, but we're going to obey God. I'm going to pray over the room and pray for us. That this lesson, and I'm only in one sentence yet. This lesson will burn deep into our hearts that, look, we must obey the highest of the higher powers. And who is he? Well, let's talk about him a little bit. You know, we use certain superlatives for God, like higher than the highest. Well, it's true. But still, he cannot be measured. You cannot even measure his height, you know, because he's higher than anything you can measure. So if there are any higher powers, well, he is higher than those higher powers. So
It is true that we must be subject to the higher powers, but we must also be subject to the highest of those higher powers, who is God himself. And if the higher powers that we have with us in our societies, communities, countries, and so forth, states and towns, if their laws violate the laws of the highest of the higher powers, well, then we can't do it, you know, because, you know, it violates the word of God. We must make up our minds that we are willing to go all the way. Glory to God. Jesus said, except a man be willing to deny himself and lose his own life for my sake, well, can't be my disciple. If you do choose to lose your life for his sake, say, well, you'll find it again. But if you hang on to it because you are still loving your life, some people will not love their lives unto death. They don't care. Penalty of death or not, they're sold out. But those that love their lives and will save their life, Jesus said, they will lose it. But, you know, if you will lose it for my sake, in other words, you give up your rights, you give up everything, you know, then you will find that life again. And Jesus will stand by you. He may or may not deliver you from the very persecution that you are suffering, but there will be a crown of life for you. And in some cases, he will deliver to bring glory to his name. We've seen it in these stories that we shared today. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. More exhortations out of this book of chapter 13. And the subtitle for this should actually be, you know, whom will we obey? You know, the higher powers or the highest of the higher powers. You know, that would be the subtitle, because that's what we are dealing with in just this first verse alone. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for everyone that is here and the lessons we have shared. We know there are certain things that are coming, but we thank God for your promise. Before complete pressure is brought upon the bride elect, she will be raptured. We know that we will be raptured because Jesus promised us that. So pray that you escape these things, including the mark of the beast. Escape all these things, that you be counted worthy to escape all those things that are coming and to stand before the Son of Man. But we will see signs of it. You know, harbingers of the evil decrees are coming, and we will see it and experience some of it before the rapture. We pray that you will give us grace to stand firm, even in a moment of trial. Praise God. The trial of your faith being precious, more precious than of gold that perisheth, that when it be tried, it will be found precious to the glory of God. Help us, O Lord, that we will choose today to be firm in our commitment, you know, our allegiance to the Lamb, and not allegiance to any law of the land that may be contrary. As long as those laws are in alignment or not contrary to the law of the Lord, then it's okay, and we should obey. But if it be contrary, we must not obey. We must obey the highest of the higher powers. Thank you, Lord, for this understanding. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.